thinking as God thinks, knowing as God knows, shows me the perfection of the body. However, the body is just as perfect before I know it as it is after I know it. The substance of life, truth, and love, man's only substance, does not cease to be perfect just because I am ignorant of its perfection. It is eternally perfect because it is eternally the image and likeness of God, eternal perfection. And there is no power to make it anything else. The belief that the earth was flat did not flatten the earth. The earth was not changed, but man's thought about it. Until man learned this, he lived in ignorance of the truth. The truth that makes man free from all lies. We hear about spiritualizing the body through thought. This regards the body as physical and undertakes to change matter into spirit through mental effort. We are taught clearly that there is one Creator, God, Spirit, and He has created all in and of Himself. Therefore, we do not need to attempt to do that which God has already done perfectly and eternally. Omnipresence means the infinite presence of God and all that God is, everywhere, all the time, right now, right here. Then, right now, God is all there is of the visible and the invisible, not only of the formless, the sea, but of the formed, the dry land. Man does not create nor change anything. He sees only that which eternally is, which is eternally good, God manifest. And he calls it good or evil according to his own spiritual unfoldment. Quote, "This testimony of Holy Writ sustains the fact in science that the heavens and earth to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. This shows unmistakably that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicates states and stages of consciousness." Close quote. We do not cause spiritual perfection to be present. We recognize its presence. We do not possess the sunshine even when it shines in our room. We enjoy it. We do not possess ideas. We reflect them. Since we reflect all of the qualities of God, we are very rich. We must have all through reflection. If we are not making our financial demonstration, perhaps we need to cast out fear, resentment, the acceptance of mortal mind laws of good years and lean years, injustice, etc., all of which are human elements and would obscure, obstruct, and blur our vision of God's great love for us and the infinite good he has provided for us. Jesus was the richest man the world has ever known. His resources were inexhaustible. Material property was entirely valueless to him. He knew the only form of limitation was the human sense of matter. He wiped out of consciousness the sense of matter as man's body in the limitation of health just as he did the sense of limitation of bread when he fed the 5,000 with a loaf of bread and a few fishes. Jesus had the understanding of principle, the principle of producing mentally everything he needed. He saw it all as thought objectified, and he reflected the all-knowing, ever-present mind. If they brought a blind man or a leper to him, he instantly saw the real man, and this correct view of man healed the sick view. In the beginning, God said to the consciousness of every idea in his creation, quote, "Let there be light," and there was light, close quote. And this light was the Christ mind, your mind, the only mind. Jesus said, quote, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them," close quote. Perhaps the most aggressive mesmerism is that we can think a thing and still not consciously have it, that we can think health and wealth and still not consciously experience them in daily living. The fact is, however, that we think about health and wealth, but do not realize clearly that they are inherent in man as God's child by reflection. We should be keenly alert and individualize the fact that things exist only because they have been thought or conceived by God as his image, his being, his own substance. After John the Divine had looked all through the tempest-tossed sea of human concepts and had witnessed all there is to mortal mind because of his spiritual wisdom, he could look beyond the appearance of evil into the spiritual consciousness of purity and clarity. He saw the city fair, the tree whose leaves were for the healing of the nations. He saw the lamb, the stars, the candlesticks and throne, all the symbols of the spiritual which I could not see, invisible to uninspired thought. In this divine state of consciousness, he saw no temple or body, and there was no pain, no darkness, no tears, no death. And he said, quote, "There was time no longer," close quote. Let us think of our beloved Master and his vision of the crucifixion. Did he not see beyond and above the struggle and the event of the crucifixion and the cross, to the culmination of the victory of life for the redemption of the world for centuries to come? It was this vision that gave him power to transcend and surmount the hatred and cruelty of his enemies, as well as all the circumstances which led to the crucifixion. He forgave those who had mistreated him because he knew that they had no vision to comprehend what he was doing for the world and for them. Jesus could have avoided the crucifixion, but he endured this trial and sorrow in order to prove to us that life is eternal and that there is no death to man, God's image and likeness. It isn't what we have to meet, but the way we meet it, what to do and what to know. We must look to spirit, not to matter nor material sense. We may experience the resurrection without the crucifixion, for error alone crucifies. Every time we exchange an evil thought for a spiritual fact, we are having our resurrection. When Job turned from self and prayed for his friends, whom he felt had been so cruel, when he rightly identified even that which his human sense abhorred, his abundance was manifest. This was not the restoration of a former estate, but a newness of life experienced by a renewal of the mind, a subjective spiritual sense of God and man. Hence, the substance which was now Job's was the spontaneous expression of mind's all-inclusive abundance, and not the result of human striving nor mortal attainment. Man, the consciousness of God, in the individual, indivisible oneness of being, is seen to include every divine verity. The being of mind is made manifest through its ideas and as its ideas. Our God is a positive God. Therefore, his thoughts, his ideas, are forever positive, complete, satisfied, and whole as man. That's the end of this address.